that sax, baby. Blow that puppy. That's Bud Deal. He plays Roy Orbison, Wayne Eddy. That boy blows the sax. Now he's about 67 years old. He looks like he's 25. You know, in Scotland, the bagpipe player lives the longest. That's a fact. He's the wind, baby. The air has got the energy. Well, I guess it's time for another Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. I do believe it's time. I guess this is May 6th, 2006. May 6th, 2006. I do believe we have another Saturday Night Live show coming at you here. Got a lot of interesting things going on. Got some interesting topics. First thing we want to talk about, bunch of stuff actually. We'll do the we're at BBS Radio on my private page over there. You're going to be seeing You're going to be seeing some amazing stuff. First, we talked. Dr. Deagle and I had talked about the laser weaponry, and then of course on the current Scientific American, not Scientific Popular Science magazine, is a what I call a tale of not truth, or a deception tale about where they're trying to tell us science is at with the laser weapons, beam weapons. And then, of course, I put the M-laser weapon demonstration on a couple of weeks ago on my website, showing you that that wasn't true, because here's one shooting a cannon shell out of the sky. Well, tonight, we'll take it a step further. You'll look out the window of the Discovery, NASA frame, and you'll see one of those laser cannons firing in space. It comes out as a white beam on the video footage because it's in space. The colors are a little different up there in dark space. You'll see a UFO hop out of the way. Then you will, in another little, these are video clips, okay? And as Dr. Deagle has often said on my show and on his, all these laser weapons are not basically pointed at the Earth. They're pointed away because it's called Star Wars. Then you'll see another video clip that we put up there. And that video clip, from the Challenger, and you'll see out the window where the pilot is, you'll see, or the co-pilot rather, on that side, you'll see a flying orb, much like we had down at Area 51, flying alongside the spacecraft. Okay, then you'll see another video of a nice flying saucer up close and personal, and another one of the orbs. So, and we've got some other stuff up there. So that's an update in the video performa on the laser cannon. We're keeping a complete file of all the laser activities, and we'll be obviously adding to it as the shows get more and more complex. Soon, I hope to even start a file on propulsion systems, and I want to go into extraterrestrial technology, footage of government ships in flight, and alien ships up close and personal, like I used to do them with stills. Now I've got videos. So we're moving in that direction to give you a more and greater and better understanding of what goes on. Also, this isn't the field that I work in. Also, you're going to see on there martial law, police state. You'll see some footage on there, starting out with George Bush. And remember, we talked about earlier about the prisons that are out there. What's 400 or 500, 600 prisons that were built that are not occupied, that the CIA was covering up. And as you know, the director of the CIA just stepped down after being there only 19 months. Just like George Tenet, our friends stepped down. They've lost all their good people, by the way. You've got real animals and rogues in there now coming in. Unfortunately, that's just the way it works when you have a collapsed administration. You'll also see very carefully, I want you to look at the other footage on 9/11. Now, a lot of other people have covered this. Charlie Sheen is on there. We've got a clip with him talking about 9/11. And in that footage, you'll actually see a missile that was attached to the bottom of one of the aircraft fire. You'll see it when you light one of those puppies off, it flares out of the tailpipe. You'll see the flare. It's a round flare. And it fires into the, it opens up a pathway into the World Trade Center just ahead of the aircraft by a mere seconds, almost hundreds of a second. But that's all, enough to get that in there. Remember, they didn't find any bodies. They found nothing in the 9/11 crash at all. Very few aircraft parts. There were a few of those. And they only found Muhammad Atta's passport conveniently laying on the street below, unmolested, down at the bottom of the World Trade Center on the street, unburned, unfried. Muhammad Atta's passport was found. That's what sent him up to Boston, they said. You'll also be able to see in those pictures that I've got posted up there the demolition occurring, and Dr. Deagle has covered that far better than I do, the actual explosives and how they're placed and blah, blah, blah. So I think we're starting to cover a lot of subjects now on BBS radio like no place else before, based by with people, ex-FBI people. We had Ted on the other night, the former FBI guy. We've, Deagle's bringing on scientists from NSA, and I'm bringing on people, and including myself, and referencing things. And so I think you're starting to get a picture that it's just, that we've really got some information out there. It's very interesting to listen to this information, and I think we're getting your documentation down where you can prove it's wrong. All of us, myself included, document our stuff now, and it's pretty hard to prove it's wrong. You're welcome to try, and I hope you do, because then I'll have a new source of information, one who proves me wrong. The seminar is building up. We're running into a problem now. You people better wait. Not wait. I don't think you can get into the inn anymore. I think we've filled it up with rooms being not available. The seminar's got openings, but in that particular inn, which is a resort hideaway in Laguna Beach inside of a bottom of an extinct volcano crater. It's like being in Hawaii. It's with the mouth of this crater opening onto the ocean. It's a beautiful place to stay, and it was $135 a night for my clients. It's normally like $300, $400 a night for that particular hotel. It's very expensive. It's called the Montage, the main frame of the hotel out front on PCH. There's probably rooms over at the Montage, but you will pay $400 or $500 a night over there now. So those of you that come to the seminar might have to be staying outside of town. And some over in El Toro, for example, there's a lot of affordable hotels in the $70, $80 range. But unfortunately, it's a 10-minute drive to my seminar. And unfortunately, you're not on the ocean. You can't get up in the morning and put your toes in the sand and feel the waves and watch some whales swim by. That won't be possible because you'll be driving to the seminar. So anyway, tonight I want to get into a bunch of topics. And one of them is going to be a little bit on sleep. And I've talked about this quite a bit before, but now we're going to centralize it a little bit more. And we'll start with the topic of Patrick Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Senator Ted Kennedy's youngest son of three. He had a little flambeau the other night at the Capitol building or out in the parking lot. And he's strung out on a drug. There, you've got to understand, we talk about some very serious problems that are going on. This is all part of this cover-up, this conspiracy, this control thing. And there's a group of drugs called imidazolpyridines. And the imidazolpyridine group, which is now known as Ambien, the one that he was on, which is also called Zolpidem or Ambien, either one, same drug, technical explanation is called trimethyl-2-toyl-imidazolpyridine. Okay. Now, the big deal here is pyridine. Pyridine, all right? We can put a pi in front of that instead of a tri. This is a tri, three methyl atoms. We can put a pi in front of it, and we'll have pipyridine. Now, if we have pipyridine, and then we can go back about 4 months or 3 months worth of shows where I talked about the, late in the fall, where we talked about Tamiflu containing cyclohexane. Remember cyclohexane? Yeah, that's the one. Well, remember that cyclohexane and piperidine are angel dust. Okay? So here you have the other end of the equation. You got the pyridine. It's not piperidine, it's pyridine. Same thing, you can compound the methyl atoms and make it piperidine. And with Tamiflu, you take these two together, you're going to be on a hell of a trip. Now, the roots of this stuff, the roots of these things are, first of all, we haven't shown you, we're going to get later on into the satellites that send you the information at night to keep you from sleeping. In other words, the psychological ELF and long wave generators that are in space to cause people to freak out and do stupid things. Remember, there's a lot of people with implants that have been implanted back in the 70s and 80s when the implanting was big, but when the abductions, it's not so much now. It was done then. That's growing into fruition. And so that plus, the big plus, together with these, you know, these CIA-type satellites sending these, you know, Clementine-type satellites and some of the other ones that they're up there, sending these energy waves down is causing a negative effect on the character of thought itself for the unprotected individual, And most people will poo-poo this whole idea, but they'll go down and they will get a prescription for Ambien. And so they'll be starting to take angel dust. Now, the way that this is done, this is very carefully orchestrated by the Greys, the extraterrestrials from Theta Reticuli. This work was laid out. I think the foundation of it came from Japanese research from the 50s, when they were researching Agent Orange in those days in its raw chemical state and seeing the hypnotic trance properties of that, along with everything else that it produces, which produces a form of paranoia and fear when you get into these Gulf War syndromes. And it's all dealing with the astral body's ability to connect with the physical body. Remember now, if you're in a clinic situation and you're running sleep tests like they did at Duke University and John Hopkins and a lot of other places, they would take a patient or several people, and when they start to go to sleep, their eyes would flutter. That means that they're reaching rapid eye movement sleep. The first stage of sleep is the 2-hour, 3-hour detoxing state where your body temperature rises. Some interferon-like enzymes are produced, which go out and kill different types of toxins or potential pathogenic deposits in the body's cellular structure. They're clean it out, and so your body will generate heat while this is going on, and because your body is using this energy, it cannot move into the astral plane. But finally, depending on how toxic you are, obviously you've been drinking alcohol or doing drugs, you won't have any dreams because your body will be detoxing all night until the toxins are wore out, but eventually you will reach rapid eye movement sleep. During these experiments that people reached rapid eye movement sleep, by twitching of the eyelids, they were woke up. They were woken up. They would wake these people up. And what would happen was the group that was allowed to sleep and the group that wasn't allowed to sleep, pretty soon the group that wasn't allowed to sleep, that was woken up every time they reached this REM sleep, became irritable during the day, dysfunctional, had blood sugar irregularities, high triglyceride levels, basically unable to function, more accident prone, and of course the immune system was disturbed, which is your consciousness. The ones that were unmolested during sleep functioned as what we would call normal for that type of person during the following days. The people that were molested and told to wake up, eventually, in a very short period of time, started developing sleep arrhythmias where they could not sleep anymore. Okay, so now, rather than have somebody come around to your house representing the government or the secret government or whoever every night to wake you up while you sleep, they just do that electronically, because what happens is the physical body, when you're laying there sleeping, when you first lay down, your aura, which is made up of the electricity generated in your brain and sent down through your central nervous system, your aura field goes out 2 inches above normal. And when it goes out 2 inches above normal, your body statutory height probably would be an inch taller, an inch and a half taller, depending on your height. If you're a midget, probably half inch taller. Okay, so bottom line is you're relaxed. Then what happens is if you get some very strong electronic interference, like a radio is turned on very close to you that transmits, like a ham radio or a TV set that generates radiation, the old style, with cathode ray tubes, your body gets hit with a lot of electricity. Even though you're sleeping, it reacts to it because it wants to protect that central nervous system and that delicate aura structure, those nadis and sheaths and all the myelin sheaths. Everything that's in your body needs to be protected, so your body will pull itself together in such a way that your spine now contracts, right? And so even though you're laying down, your spine got back to its normal size. A neuromuscular reaction pulled it in. You feel like you're falling. You get that sensation that you're falling. Oh, I just fell 50 feet. But you really didn't fall. You were laying there, but it might have woke you up. It's kind of weird, but that's the feeling. Now, that, of course, when we put you in a portamid, one of our sleeping pyramids, goes away. It doesn't happen anymore because it blocks all that energy. But in the more subtle satellite transmissions that they're using now and the ELF transmissions coming up through the ground wires that we have, what happens is, it's a subtle thing, so your body just doesn't quite get to the astral sleep. And so it wears you down in a much slower manner. So therefore, they start throwing these sleep-enhancing drugs. The amisodipiridine family is the newest, and of course it's the most deadly, because it works in the etheric structure of where the graves are, the reptilian energies. It works there. It's not unlike a very serious alcoholic, going out on a binge and having a blackout and waking up the next day in jail, being told of a car wreck or something stupid that you did, and you can't remember it. If you look at the people that are on Ambien and some of the related family of drugs of Ambien, they're having the same experiences. It's in the news once a week, and now it's brought to a head because of Pat Kennedy. So now let's look at that some more now. If you remember, I talked about in my other show, the propulsion shows, which was the three series of propulsion shows finishing two Saturday nights ago. We talked about the Pleiadians growing the hull of their ship very much like a mushroom. And we said that this was done because it produced these chordal chambers within the structure of the hull of the ship, which would resonate to deep space frequencies, creating a lesser amount of energy being required to propel that ship to a distant part in space and time. In other words, to go through a time warp, a space warp, you have to have a certain energy, and it has a certain pattern, has certain DNA crystalline frequency, and that sublimely is reflected in a mushroom. We also discussed the fact that when you take a psilocybin mushroom, or some of them in that family, that it would pattern the serotonin. It wouldn't stop it. It would pattern or rearrange the serotonin in such a way that you would be mentally, with the electrical circuits of the body, transported into some faction of the lower astral plane, or possibly the etheric plane, or even a higher astral plane if you've trained and been a vegetarian and you don't have other poison substances to sidetrack your consciousness. You could go up pretty high on those things, but it's a chemical thing to get there, all right? Same thing with a seashell. It does it acoustically. A seashell is a Fibonacci series, which we've discussed. The order of two rings previous added together makes the order that's going to be following. 2 plus 3 equals 5 plus 3 is 8, 11, blah, blah, blah. Same energy, but now we're not talking acoustical bandwidth. We're talking about mental bandwidth, which much, in your mind, you can go anywhere. Remember Timothy O'Leary. So let's go back to Ambien for a second now. With that said, in the mushroom Albertus confluus, Albertus, spelled A-L-B-A-T-R-E-L-L-U-S, confluus, C-O-N-F-L-O-U-S. In that particular mushroom is where you can find piperidine. Isn't that strange? Piperidine, just like cyclohexanone pyridine. And if you go type in pyridine, P-Y-R-A-D-I-N-E, into the internet, you'll find it's toxic, a poison, just like cyclohexane, okay? And you can make it at home out of acetaldehyde and opium poppies. Look that up on the internet. How do you make this at home? Acetaldehyde and opium poppies. So now, acetaldehyde, where does that fall in? Well, in the manufacture of angel dust, it was oftentimes cut. The cheap stuff was cut with acetaldehyde. And people that will tell you that some people went out on that stuff and never came back. It was developed over at the intelligence community of Russia and the United States intelligence communities back after World War II. It was developed by a company called Surly, and it was used for the early work in remote viewing because it can make you very powerful. And you've seen people that are high on this stuff, and the cops are trying to arrest them because they're out of control because they're doing it in an uncontrolled environment and untrained. You have to train the agent or the person using it how to use it in small, minute doses until they build up a tolerance for it, and then they can become effective using it. So the whole process in remote viewing using these psychedelics, and realize that you're moving into the field of energy, which I call the reptilian energies. And the reptilian energies are just as clear as the Akashic records on events. You know, so if somebody's kidnapped by somebody and hidden in a room in Italy, they can go find that person because there's enough of a mental trail left on those planes. It's not much different than an Indian tracking an animal, a wounded animal or a human being, you know, through the woods or through the desert, wherever they're being tracked. It's the same thing. So now you begin to get a little bit of a comprehension of where I'm coming from with all of this. So this new class of drugs will cause people, it'll catch people that are not aware of this stuff. The average human being cannot handle psychedelics. They end up in a medical ward in a straitjacket until they come down off the stuff, and some people never come down. So this is where we're going now. It's not only mind and character control now. It's actually causing people to go sleepwalking and now sleep driving. And there's a lot of, Pat Kennedy is just one of many cases that I know of sleep driving. And people have a tendency when they're driving to crash into a stationary object. So they'll spot something down the road at a certain speed, they'll synchronize with it, and they'll drive right into it and have a wreck. Exactly what he did. And then they won't remember any of it later. It's a blackout. Okay, this is how that reptilian energy works. It's fast, it's cold, it's calculating, and on top of that, it's in character. Once again, people are going to start doing strange things. They're going to pass more strange laws prohibiting you from doing things that are relating to the strangeness, and once again, more constitutional freedoms will be removed. So, there you have the beginning of my show. What do you think? This is how we start shows. Tonight I want to talk a little bit more about how to get sleep naturally, because people still aren't getting it. Okay, the best way to get natural sleep would be to go up in the mountains, put a cot next to a stream in perfect temperature of 75, 74 degrees, and have no mosquitoes or animals present that would be harmful. That would be one way of getting perfect sleep. However, it's pretty hard to do that. So as a result of that, we at Pyridine saw a long time ago a problem coming, like the problem we have now, and it's getting worse. We've documented it now for 31 years, and that's why we invented a thing called the Portamid. Oh, the Portamid. The Portamid, being a perfect model of the carbon and iron atom in your bloodstream and carbon atom in your body, is called an octahedron. The only thing is, with a Portamid, we don't put a bottom on it. It's got the top part, and you sleep at the bottom of the top part. If you want, you could connect two Portamids together and suspend a bed in between them, or put it up high, and you will have the ultimate Portamid to sleep in. I've known people to take 2 6-foot pyramids and do exactly that and sleep in between them, actually even larger ones. All you have to do is buy two of them and bowl them together end to end. So you got a pyramid pointing up and a pyramid pointing down. build yourself a small anchoring frame, and then build yourself a small elevated cot and set it in there, and you'll find out what I'm talking about. Put a capstone on the top port amid with an orb. Now, we use that capstone to reflect the energy back down in the body. A lot of people will buy Portamid, and they don't want to spend the extra money for the capstone, which is a necessity, because it's a 24-karat gold amplifier of the orgone energy of the pyramid and the life force. And when you're fighting with this energy that's coming from not only large radio... Let me tell you a little story about 1929, what happened. 1929, WLW went on the power on the radio in Ohio, WLW. 500,000 watts of power around that station. Now, this is about before we knew what radiation did. No station today is allowed to have that kind of power. 50,000 is it. 500,000 watts of power around Cincinnati, Ohio. They destroyed all the vegetation within miles of that station. Nothing would grow. Excuse me. The people couldn't work there very long. They were gassed and they went crazy. So the FCC, that was the first time the FCC ever came in and leveled a power rating on a station, because it was just frying it, frying the countryside. Well, you lower the power down to 50,000 watts. It's human bodies have gotten used to that. We got thicker skin. It's caused the radiation of this above-ground radiation transmitting stations has caused the human body to genetically mutate. As you know, you can easily prove that to yourself by going on any old naval or sailing vessel pre-30s, pre-radiation all over the planet, and you'll see the berth size, the room size. It was a smaller human being in those days. There's no getting around. People were smaller. They got bigger as radiation. And the other side of the hypothesis is very simple. If you look at and do some research and you look at they were exposing radiation to pumpkins and corn and all this stuff, how big it got. You know, this, of course, is a larger amount. A lot of it some was down in Florida at some of the labs down there. They could take a watermelon and make it the size of a car. They could make a tomato the size of a watermelon. Of course, the material was not, it loses its taste. You can't always say it's radioactive, because it's not always. It's actually is radiation-oriented. It's got some radiation in it. It actually could be eaten, but it wouldn't have any nutrition value, because it's like a microwave. As soon as you put something in a microwave, it cooks it from the inside out. It's a reverse spin on the electrons, and boom, guess what? It doesn't have a nutritional value anymore. So that's how that stuff works. So by going in at Portamid, it shields you from this negative energy. Now what we do is we'll enhance it with a orb up on the top. It was called a star orb. And what the star orb does, I'm sorry, it's just a regular orb. The star orb I'll bring it up. The regular orb is like a star orb minus one pyramid in a grid system. The regular orb sits up on the portamid and it engages, okay, all of these stellar energies. Because remember, the Earth is moving, here's the picture. The Earth is moving 1,000 miles an hour from the west to the east. That's why the sunset always is in the west, okay? As it turns, okay, we have a bunch of satellites in geosynchronous orbit, meaning they're synchronized in one spot, they're not moving, and they're sending out emanations of energy that are not contrary or healthy to the body. So what happens is when these emanations occur, you have all these frustrations that makes these drug companies thrive. Realize that the drug industry is probably one, if not the largest industry in the world, maybe next to petroleum. And remember also, petroleum is linked to drugs, because half stuff, some of it's made from herbs, a lot of it's made from chemical and oil anyway. So a lot of these drugs are made from that. And when you start dealing with the cyclohexane and papyridine and all of that, these are derivatives that come from poisonous mushrooms or oil. I mean, it's chemistry is chemistry, you know. So that's how that works. So therefore, you're in this device. Okay, you're in the pyramid, and that's stopping the radiation of the geosynchronous satellites that are transmitting direct line of sight, okay? So they're sitting there beaming you 24/7, 365. So we block that. Now, with the capstone, we enhance the life force. So what we do is we actually, now we start rectifying their energy and making it into a life force. So now we're actually reversing the energy. But in relationship to the star systems, okay, the star systems, you've got the energy of the Pleiades. And if you look at the Pleiades, especially at night, it comes up in the north and sets in the southern sky, if you're in the northern hemisphere, depending on how far north you are, how far it sets south. Further north, the quicker it sets. But anyhow, to the point, if you're clear at the North Pole, it just sets right away. But anyway, all these star systems are line of sight sending radiation and other forms of consciousness-raising energy. Because remember, there's life force coming from the sun. You get out of the sun for any length of time around gray skies, and you gradually go crazy. Cabin fever, there's a lot of words for it, but psychologically you start to fall. Well, the same thing goes with the stars. You know, we're moving around the Pleiades at a pretty good rate of speed. And, of course, every 26,827.5 years, we make a complete rotation. So each time that we go through a series of star transformations or star fixations, where stars are sending stellar energies out, at a particular relevant point in our rotation around the precession of the equinox, the Pleiades, we are supposed to receive not just a life force like from our sun, but an enlightening force from the stars called the influence of the Pleiades in the Book of Job. You should be bound down by the bands of Orion, or you will be set free by the sweet influence of the Pleiades. I think it's 39, somewhere in there in the verses. So this is not what I'm making up. This is real, true stuff. So what happens is, to make that influence be felt, that's where the Pieridian orb sits on top of. And now, where did the Pieridian orb come from? The Pleiades. Who brought it? Sannyasi brought that a long time ago. That was the very first thing they gave us after they taught us how to use the pyramids, which we all knew about. Pat Flanagan, in my book, would get the Dr. Pat Flanagan, a good friend, great, great, wild, crazy guy. We had a lot of fun with him over the years. I miss him a lot because he's out there and I'm out there, but working. But he was the guy that got the pyramid going back in the 70s. He was my predecessor. He was before me. He got some of the, he found the Carl Durable patent in Czechoslovakia, which was about sharpening razor blades. He got the water processing, surface tension changing. Pat Flanagan did a lot of research on that pyramid in his first book, Pyramid Power. Written in ventilated prose, I recommend everybody read it. It's still around. It's a very basic book, but realize back in the early 70s, just coming out of the 60s, I didn't know much about pyramids in those days, other than there was one in Egypt. That's about all you could have got out of me then. I was a rocket scientist. I could tell you all about F1 engines and J2 engines, but things we built at NASA, and hydrazine pumps and all that, but pyramids, nope, didn't know a thing about them. And still don't know much, but enough to make some cool stuff happen. And so Pat Flanagan started it all. But today, we're way down the road now. So, Sannyasi gave us the design of the orb and explained it exactly as I did, how it works. And then, of course, we enhance its actions by the same way our nuclear receptors have gemstones in them, and you muscle test to find out which one of your chakras, which one of your endocrine glands, which frequency of cells in your DNA, which band of cells in your DNA is weak. And then that color, when you test strong on that color, that's the color that's going to correct all the crystal resonant frequencies in the DNA structure and cause the healing process of the body to normalize and speed up. So you started producing 90 million cells per second or more, which then brings your immune system up to speed where it can now contact energies from the stellar and the stars and make an effect on DNA. In other words, you got to get the receiver ready to receive the. You have to believe in order to receive. Number one, number two, you got to get the receiver ready in the body in the DNA structure, and that's what the receptor does. So that when you go into the pyramid at night to sleep, and you have that orb up there, and you put a corresponding crystal or gemstone up in that orb and shoot a corresponding laser color into it, you're just carrying on what you did all day by wearing the receptor, and now you're going to be bulletproof next to these reptilian-oriented devices in space, bulletproof against these reptilian drugs that they're feeding you every day by prescription, And you're going to be vindicated from all the preservatives in the food that are also linked to these things to drive you mad also. Several of the, I have never even done a show on food preservatives yet, but I will soon. First of all, it's important for everybody to understand this stage of it. Because when I work with my, what my work is all about is the physical body, okay, solid. We have solids, liquids, gas, ionic state. Then we have an electrical body. This is where the ionizers, the ion shower, so many devices that I've developed and marketed over the years, which are in our product line, come into play. And then so we go physical, electrical, then we go to electrical precursing. Electrical precursing is where the receptor works, the projector works. And you notice I don't talk a lot about the projector because I think people still need to know more about the receptor, because when you start not only receiving the energies of the Pleiades and the Great Bear and Sirius and Orion and all these places, hopefully not too much Orion energies, but some people like them, the dog star, Sirius. When you start receiving these energies, you start wearing the projector, you get a lethal dose. That's real simple. You better be ready for it because you're going to go somewhere whether you want to or not when you start wearing a projector. So that's why I like to talk about how this stuff works. Now, the next thing we did, after we had the orb, we added the star orb. And the star orb, most of you out there listening know what it is, but for those of you that are new to the shows, and we get new people every week, it's a device that hangs in the room, has a ground wire, which takes the ELF from the air and grounds it, and it also takes the ELF from the ground and grounds it, because it's processed through the star orb and then grounded. It has a second connection, usually to your refrigerator, because the ELF and all these waves are anti-life force, and so the vegetables and the produce life in your refrigerator is probably quite short, and you find out when you put salad and lettuce in there, when you hook it up to a star orb, your refrigerator, the food in it, will last many, many times longer than it normally does. Lettuce for us lasts really well for a week, and after 10 days it starts to turn brown. It's oxidizing, though. It's not going bad. It doesn't rot. It just oxidizes. And tomatoes will liquefy after about 2 weeks, but they last easy 7 to 10 days. And I live on tomatoes. Talk to Mikkel, ask her how many of those. She sees me eat those things day in and day out. I've been eating tomatoes since I was a kid. Give me a shaker of salt, a tomato, and I'm a happy camper. I'll salt that puppy and eat it all day long. Live on those things. Phytochemicals. You know, you got to have your anti-cancer fix. Also, now we're starting. We built the first micro. We're micronizing our line. We're making a star orb now that goes in your car. It's only about 4 inches tall. And I think we're going to sell those for $199. We'll take orders for those anytime. The reason we put them in your car is, you know, it's a constant source of ELF. Now, I used to sell car ionizers, and I may sell them again. There are a few on the market, but I haven't had the time to go out and research the one I'd want to carry because I don't want to manufacture them. I made those things for years down in Mexico, and it was a lot of work. We had the very first car ionizer ever mass-produced right here at Paradigm. Anyway, a lot of Sharper Image has them now, and a lot of people have them, so go over there and get them for now until we come up with something unique, because what I want to do is I want to combine the technology of the receptor into the car ionizer, and that's why and the microtech technology with the star orbs. Now, the star orb, in addition to being wired up to the refrigerator and ground, and maybe one other three wires come out of it. One wire could go into your ground wire on your plug, physical ground outside, wire on your plug, refrigerator. Once it gets the ELF in it, ELF, once it's in the process of rectifying ELF, it then manufactures or realigns a frequency. Energy is energy, so we shapeshift it. We've always done shapeshifting with energy. So we can take a very toxic energy. Now, remember, energy cannot be created or destroyed. Energy follows thought. So we'll take a very toxic energy like an ELF wave or a a long wave or a high frequency radiation source like an X-ray or gamma ray, and we'll rearrange its particle, its electron particle dispersion, and we'll make it into something that's good for you. So that's why when you have these devices and hooked up, it's good to hang them up high because they transmit a healing energy out of them. And some people ask me, you know, about star orbs in the bedroom. I recommend you put one in there, but the first one you put in your house, put it up high and hook it up to your refrigerator somewhere in your living area. Use a second one in your bedroom if you're going to use those. Now, also, we're working on our gas tank out here. Remember, fossil fuel, because it is an extinct life force in its antiquity, when stimulated by spark and refined, produces heat and energy. The heat, of course, we've talked about, is in the spiritual world known as a salamander, and the heat in chemical world is measured in thermal energy, thermal units. Okay, you ever notice on your gas bill there's so many therms, you know? Sometimes it's measured in calories, like if you burn it in your body. Lots of ways of measuring it, okay? In gasoline, we call it octane rating. But bottom line is, when you bring a pyramid structure, a pure carbon-generating structure of life force, it enhances the salamander. And so what happens is, chemically, what it does to gasoline is it raises the octane, and it also oxygenates it. Thank you, George Bush. George is over here coaching me on my linguistic potential here today. So anyway, with the enhanced octane and the enhanced ability to contain oxygen, gasoline burns much more efficiently when it's been subjected to the pyramid energy. And some people wanted to, you know, me to send them the pyramids to retrofit their tanks, but I think I need the tank here to do it correctly. Otherwise, if these things aren't positioned properly and there aren't enough of them installed in the right areas, the tanks will work, but they won't work near as good as I can get them to work, because I've built these before. So, in the big picture, we are moving along. I'm constructing some 1 gallon prototype tanks right now for to get some exact efficiency figures, depending on what kind of engine you're running, and we're going to test those out momentarily before I start making any claims, because I want to give you exactly what your gas mileage saving is going to be. And, of course, realize the most important part of that is that the pollution of pyramid-enriched gasoline, the pollution factor is much, much lower. It's practically, we've done this before. We've taken cars that wouldn't pass smog, and we put some pyramid grids along the fuel lines, just along the fuel lines, and some magnets from my friend's magnet company, Magnetizer, in New York, New Jersey. Oh, he's in Philadelphia. We've done the combination of these things, and we've gotten lots of cars to pass smog with bad smog devices. So we've been playing around with cars and pyramids for a while. It's really nothing that new. So those are some of the things that are going on out there. Also, seeing as we're on the basic, covering some of the basic things of pyramid use, to get a feel for these things, you can actually take one of our Vitamids, okay, with a vitamin. It's a 12-inch pyramid that we make, and you can get some gasoline additive, okay, octane raiser. You buy it in the gas station, or you can buy it in your local parts store. And put, you know, it comes in about a, I guess, pint size. They sell it by the pint, pretty much. Don't drink it. And put it inside a Vitamid. You know, align the Vitamid to the north. Even though the Vitamids don't have to be aligned in any direction, I mean, they do work better when they're facing north, because they're gold-plated. Put a pint of this octane fuel-raising stuff, mixture, Vitamin for about 2 days, maybe 36, 48 hours, okay? And if you have one of these newer cars, go along with that. They're about half quart. They're like pint size. The other one's pint size too. Fuel injection cleaner. as another carbon derivative, and put that in there. So put the octane razor and the fuel injection cleaner in the pyramid for 48 hours, the Vitamid. And then go pour that in your gas in your car. And tell me what kind of gas mileage you get. Your whole car will run better. You'll be amazed at what happens, you know. And you'll get better gas mileage. It's not going to give you the gas mileage of a pyramid gas tank, but it's going to really change things around in a very good way. So there are little experiments that you can do. I've even seen people stick pyridomes under the hood along the carburetor and that, and get better gas mileage. But it's nothing like a pyramid tank, because in a pyramid tank, we use an open grid structure, and we have many, many, many pyramids in there, many, many. And we have many, many pyramids in there. It has a whole other effect, but you'll get some great ideas at home starting out with a $50 Vitamid. And if that, then maybe you'll be more convinced to listen to what I've got to say. The same Vitamid, you can also put your vitamins in there, and it will raise the octane on them. Actually, the vitamins become more efficient in your body. Your body will get a higher efficiency from the nutrients involved. And if you take frozen foods and thaw them out in a pyramid, like a Vitamid, the taste comes back, because the taste is destroyed in the freezing process. Enzymes pretty much like to run around room temperature, and when you start getting off room temperature, which is based at the perfect temperature of the human body, which is 68 degrees, external, internal, and that, by the way, in the Great Pyramid of Egypt, the King's Chamber, regardless of how hot it is in the desert or cold in the winter in Egypt, it's always 68 degrees. So these are some other little experiments while we're on the subject that you can do while you have the Vitamid at home. You don't just have to amplify your fossil fuel derivatives to make your car run better. Getting back to the Portamid, I've seen another question come up on our larger Portamids, and I wanted to answer that real quick. And that is on the 10-foot and some of the other bigger ones, they come in two sections, meaning that they're, instead of having a 10-foot base rod, there's 2 5-foot sections, and they have a kind of a double-threaded nut on the inside that allows these two poles to be screwed into each other. Well, when you assemble them, some of the threads will be showing. You don't try to make the rods go inside and hide the threads. The reason those are made that way, not only to make them easier to ship and assemble and move around, but you can also tune the pyramids with them. And the apex pieces, you have these big, long, wide nuts. There's 4 of them for the apex, and there's 4 of them for the base. And so what happens is, when you are assembling your Portamid, get yourself a ruler out and get your pyramid together, and then adjust these screws for the exact measurements, where you'll have 10 foot even at the bottom, not 10 foot and a tenth inch, or 10 and a quarter, 10 and 3/4 inches. Get it right down to 10 feet. And get the, if I remember correctly, the apex is 9 feet and, I don't know, 9 or 10 inches. I forget what it comes out to. It's 5% less than 10, and you figure it in inches. And 10 feet would be 120 inches. So 5% of 120 inches is what you want your apex pieces to be. That's when you really start fine-tuning them. And then, even though you don't have to align the Portamid to the north, it's not a bad idea if you can do it in the room. Most houses are not, unfortunately, magnetically aligned to the poles. They're usually about 15 degrees off, which makes all of the rooms off, magnetically speaking. But they would be a lot better if they would align them. Some old towns and countries actually did align them properly that way. So these are some of the questions and some of the answers. With the capstone, it fits right on there. Now, also, I mentioned this before, when you use the lasers with the Portamid sleeping, men and women both, well, we usually hook a timer up to, you know, a little $10 timer to a red laser, and that shoots into a crystal above the Portamid, which then disperses the astral energy. And then, of course, when you go to sleep, you go into your astral body is going to jump out about 13 feet or more. That's when you go into astral or rapid eye movement sleep, because your aura, has, when it jumps out more than 13 feet, becomes an extension. And when we talked about the insanity part of it, meaning that if you're not allowed to go into rapid eye movement sleep, and you're not allowed to, your aura is not allowed to go out more than 13 feet, it can't join with other auras, other people that are sleeping, other people that are temporarily displaced completely on the other, on the astral plane, people out of body, people that have recently lost their bodies, spiritual beings that live there. All of these things are accessible, you know, in sleep. That's why sleep is a very important part of our body. It's pretty much relates to where we came from before we were here. If that were the number one thing that I were to claim, well, why is sleep so important? Because it allows us to have the nurturing power of the eternity that we came from. And in that eternity of where we came from, of course, are other beings, other people, people that we have known in other lives that aren't here now but we need to communicate with. And so once again, when they start using these drugs like Ambien and all of the pyridinyl family, mesodylpyramine family drugs, they're mocking up. This is mocking up. And you're not actually, when you're in the sleep, you're in a trance. You're not in an astral sleep. You're not in REM sleep. You're in a trance and you're on a hypnotic spell. And that's why they call these types of drugs hypnotics. Okay? You're not asleep. And let me tell you something. Hypnosis is not, hypnosis is not a substitute for sleep. People under hypnosis, normal type where you have a hypnotist, and going through some kind of a past life experience, regression, or whatever you want to go through in normal hypnotic therapy, which is great to work with, it's therapy. You have a leader, a trainer, who has put you in that state. You're comfortable being in that state, and that person is hopefully giving you objective things to subconsciously come to light in the moment that they're needed when you're in, fully awake, i.e. what's called a post-hypnotic suggestion. But when you hypnotize yourself with papyridine and these different substances like Ambien and these other drugs that are out there, do you know who your therapist is? Take a guess. They're about 3 feet tall and they're called grays. And they're part of a larger group called reptilians. That's your therapist. Now, they're going to direct you to do all kinds of weird things. Modern psychiatry is going to say this is actions of the subconscious mind. Now, that's true. But the subconscious is another sub, is another degree of consciousness. So subconsciousness, subconscious, is another space. It's a space that's just as real as the conscious place that we're in now. It's very real. It's very deceptive. You know, what people talk about drugs and alcohol being deceivers once you become an alcoholic or an addict. And the properties of the substance are very, very shrewd, very calculating. The same thing with these drugs. And when you combine alcohol with Ambien, then the rock and roll fun really begins, because now you have given these subconscious entities that are controlling you via this lizard plane of consciousness, okay, this reptilian plane of consciousness, you've just given them fuel, because the alcohol puts a caloric content, calories, heat, energy, into your thoughts. And so now it will cause an animation of the body, okay? The body will now animate itself. And when the body becomes animated in subconscious state, controlled by reptilian things, it's going to go out and do what they want it to do, not what you want it to do. So I'm telling you, and with all my heart and soul, this is a whole new character of medicine that we're going into now. But remember, because we were talking in other shows about serotonin reuptake inhibitors, okay? Well, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors will comatose you, but they're not trance-like. They'll comatose you. You won't go running around on them, but once you use them long enough, now the next generation, the next graduation, because all these reuptake inhibitors, any chemist will tell you, they don't know what they're doing. They just throw things together, and one combination works for a while, and then they'll throw something else together, another combination works for a while, to slow you down while you're awake. Now what we're doing is we're speeding you up while you're asleep, and we're drugging you, then we're completely supercharging you with energies of another entity, and off you go. So start realizing what these drugs do, where they come from, what they're all about, and you'll start understanding what I've been trying to explain to you out there in the listening world for the last 31 or 32 years of Paradigm, and 3 or 4 years before I started Paradigm, where I was coming from. And I've seen all this stuff. I've been all over the world, and I've had some of the best ETs come and teach me about this stuff, especially about the plants. Like I say, the Pleiadians aren't to be next to God is to be next to nature, and been horticulture experts for the last 26,000 years. So they can grow a spaceship, make it into a chordal chamber, and fly it into space. Obviously, it's got other things in it, but the basic hull structure, in many cases, is a growing-type substance when it's hardened by an injection of resin to harden it, like case hardening in metal. So having had those kinds of examples and people training me and show me this stuff, I think I know a little bit about where I'm coming from. And so we've covered a lot of subjects tonight. And, of course, the show is, as we say, winding down. And I think we got enough information. I may have Don play this show again on Tuesday night because there's usually some, not finding that there's enough information in these shows now that people want to hear them a couple times. Although sometimes, well, the archives are coming up, so you can just play them over again, because I do want to cover other material. But I always like this live Saturday night show to be, you know, entertaining. And sometimes I'm going to have to do reruns because I will be doing some traveling this summer. But and you know, I want to make sure you have enough archived information to keep your minds active out there. But I really, really hope you'll stay off the this new family of imidazolipyridines, Ambien and Zolpidem, and realize that there's many other drugs out there that are coming off the shelf. Realize that they're hypnotic drugs, all right. Guess who? Just remember, who's hypnotizing you tonight? It ain't the good guys. And I hope you enjoy Dr. Bell's shows. They're getting more and more crazy, as you can tell. We're getting really out there now, you know, all this new stuff. I can't believe how far out the shows are going, further and further and further. There we go. Bud is slipping in the sounds. I like how he does that. Whoa, Bud. And Michael Hamilton, that's Michael on the guitar. You know, he played with Kenny Loggins. He had 5 gold albums. Kenny Loggins, that's pretty good. I love the music. It's all good. And hopefully we'll get some new music out this year and some commercials and some BBS stuff. And I don't know what else to say. I'm trying to get you guys out of here, get to the next show, take a bathroom break, whatever people do when they're listening, you know. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But anyway, go to the website, bbsradio.com, where you are now, and look at Dr. Bell's stuff, because there's a lot of it. To look at a lot of new videos coming up, more and more every day. And a lot of little trips for you to go on. So, I guess we will talk soon. Good night, Mrs. Calabasas, wherever you are. Good night. Stay on this channel.
Read the most astounding book of our generation, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light by Dr. Fred Bell. Bring energy and healing technologies into your life that have been kept secret for centuries, exposed or highly classified research projects in use today at NASA and Area 51. The book is available on Dr. Bell's website, www.pyradyne.com. You'll also see more information about Dr. Bell's nuclear receptors, which allow our bodies to process all forms of electromagnetic and chemical toxins, assuring longer, healthier life. Call 1-800-729-2603 today.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.